1 through 9, and then 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Jesus never explained the parables. He always said, you know, you got ears, listen to it. But Matthew decided later on to interpret, starting with verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Last year, I ended up with a bunch of old boards that I didn't know what to do with. And so I decided I would make myself a planter box that was tall enough so that I wouldn't have to bend over so much to do gardening. I built the box and I filled it with soil and compost. And then this spring, I planted seeds. And the seeds popped right up. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. But then the plants that came up started to turn kind of yellowish. And they never really did much. They just struggled to get by. I don't know exactly what was wrong, but I'm pretty sure it had nothing to do with the seeds, because I planted different kinds of seeds and they all struggled in that garden space. I think the problem was with the soil. Soil, turns out, is a pretty complex thing. It's a mixture of sand and clay and silt, and has various nutrients, biological material. Good soil is important to grow good plants. Jesus lived in a time when most people were farmers. And so he often used farming metaphors to talk to people. He would take something that people understood to help them understand something else. And that's the case with today's scripture. He's taking a farming metaphor to help people understand why it is that this truth of the gospel, the good news, that the world can be built on the love of God, on love that emanates from God, this truth wasn't universally accepted. It wasn't the problem with the seed, with the message. The problem was with the soil. For us, in human terms, the soil is the culture in which we find ourselves. And it's the way we've come to see the world. Human beings, for the most part, not everyone, but for the most part, human beings are hardwired to feel empathy. It just becomes part of who we are. It's in our genetic code to feel empathy. And empathy, if nurtured, leads to compassion. And compassion, if studied, leads to justice. And compassion and justice and empathy create the soil in which the love of God can prosper in all sorts of different ways, in how we govern ourselves, in how we use the resources around us, how we treat one another. We can take the good seeds of this message that Jesus had for the world, that you can actually build a world based on the compassion and justice of God, and it'll work. But the soil of our culture has always been difficult for us. The soil of our culture has largely been influenced by the civilization that we've created for ourselves. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Joe. Glad you're here. The culture we have today is not so very different than ancient culture. It's just that it's been given a shot of steroids, I guess, with our technology. The way we see the world is greatly influenced by the people around us, by the inputs that we receive from the world around us. One of those major inputs is the media. Something like 25 million households in America get their news largely from local television stations. And Stanford University just recently did a study to talk a little bit about that, and talking about how this sort of access into the hearts and minds of people through local television news has been a major draw for some large conglomerates. They studied one called Sinclair Media. Sinclair, a couple years ago, bought up Como, which is our Channel 4 here in Seattle. Sinclair Media is now owns about 40% of all the local TV stations in the United States. That's 10 million households that are being reached every night. Sinclair Media, when it buys a local television station, generally does a couple things. One is it cuts back on local news coverage. It's more expensive to produce coverage station by station, and much cheaper if you can produce one national story and spread it out to all the stations you own. So cut back on local programming. And then the programming that existed took a decided conservative slant. Shortly after President Trump's election, one of his media advisors became the primary editorial person for Sinclair Publishing, and would create these editorials that all the stations were required to play. 10 million households every night, the content of which is largely determined by one CEO. In 2010, the Supreme Court, by a one vote majority, decided in the, what's called the Citizens United case that corporations had the rights of individuals and could spend in political campaigns like individuals could, which opened the doors to a floodgate of money entering into political campaigns. One study shows that from 2010, when the decision was made, to 2014, the amount of money that went into elections doubled. And from 2014 to 2018, it doubled again. Lots of money, lots of it flowing from corporations into political elections. The study by Public Citizen showed that, let's see, in from 2010 to 2020, corporations gave $282 million to Republican candidates and only $38 million to Democratic candidates. How we think is impacted by our media. How we live is impacted by the laws that are made by the people who govern us, by the judges they appoint. And this is being largely influenced by people with money and corporations with money. In 2010, we showed a movie here called The Corporation. I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. You can find it on YouTube. Corporation is kind of this interesting take on corporations. It looks as corporations as if they were a person and then does sort of a psychological study. And what they do is they take the definition of a psychopath and they apply it to the corporations operate. And unsurprisingly, that they find that the corporations are indeed psychopathic, meaning that they have no hard wiring for empathy and that they are quite willing to bring harm to others in their desire to increase their own profits. To live in a culture in which a psychopathic entity, in which the ability to succeed financially largely is based on the ability to participate in corporate culture successfully, to live in a larger culture that has so much influence by money is to live in a culture that is directly opposed to the love of God. Which means that the work of spreading the good news of Jesus is much harder than we would think. This was true in Jesus's day, as we can see in today's reading, but it's all the more true today. And so our work isn't just to tell people about the love of God and how the love of God can bring wonderful change into our lives, into the world. Part of the work is to cultivate the soil. It's not enough to just stick the seeds in the soil. We need to cultivate the soil. We need to work within the culture. We need to come up with stories that are life-giving and justice-affirming. We need to come up with poetry and art of all kinds. We need to find ways of influencing the media. We need to come up with our own media. We need to find all the various ways that we can influence the world around us to make it more receptive to the idea that every human being is treasured, that love, it can be not just the idealistic view of a few people, but can be the practical guide for civilization as a whole. It's a big job. Long ago, the church discovered that it was much easier to grow if you accommodated yourself to the dominant culture, which was a culture of order based on violence, of what we call the domination system. That was true in Jesus's day. Popular, dominant Judaism went along with the social order, and it's true in Christianity since a couple generations after Jesus. Popular Christianity is able to flourish inside this toxic culture by accommodating itself to the culture. So it's not enough that we simply oppose the culture around us. It's not enough that we just accept the traditions of the church. We have to rethink all of those traditions in light of the central work of Jesus, which is to build the realm of God, to build a world based on compassion and justice. That's our challenge. The challenge of understanding for ourselves how we're being impacted by the messages all around us, and a challenge for us to figure out how to have our impact felt beyond these doors. It's the challenge that's desperately calling out to us. And it's a challenge that offers the world real hope. Amen.
Is Let Justice Roll Like a River. It's number 716 in the gathering. Peace.